honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is an extremely good pleasure to be back aboard with you once again today. The sky is a dark blue, and it's representing, the sun is shining and the sky is very, very blue, and it's representing exactly what's going on in this Wolves and Phoenix Suns series. Minnesota Timberwolves have been outstanding, absolutely outstanding in the two games. Better than most of us could have ever imagined, myself included. I was a negative Nancy on the last episode. So on behalf of anybody else that may have felt similarly, I apologize. The Minnesota Timberwolves have taken a 2-0 lead in the Wolves and Phoenix Suns series in the Western Conference quarterfinals for 2024. As the old Twins pitching coach might have said, wasn't that neat? Yep, it was neat, all right. Absolutely awesome. Completely unexpected as far as I'm concerned. I thought the Wolves would be competitive in the series and actually win it in seven. I was being, you know, in my opinion, kind of positive. Like, yeah, we can beat these guys. We'll see what happens. But now I'm beginning to think this team could beat Denver. And let me tell you, this team beats the Denver Nuggets. The sky is the limit. Anything could happen. This team gets past the Denver Nuggets, which unfortunately would be a road series because of this game. This goes to show you that number one seed, you know, that number one seed. It's just, man, if only the Timberwolves could have gotten that number one seed. But the Wolves have won in Denver and have won in, what do they call that place? In OKC before, so during the course of the season. So they can do it. They can win against both of those teams in a series. You might even see the LA Clippers in the Western Conference Finals should the Wolves get to that point. Obviously, got to get through this series first, but the Wolves are in the driver's seat in this series. 2-0 lead. All we have to do is win home games now, basically. And, well, that's kind of how it was from the get-go as well. But we don't want it to go to 7 games. If you're up 2-0, going to 7 would probably not be a good thing. It's like, shoot, you know, obviously you'd have to lose 3 games to get there. Wally Szczerbiak, apparently. Yep, I'm watching the replay at the moment. I had been watching it, but then I must have missed this little tiny part. Wally Szczerbiak talking with Leah B. Olsen. Sorry, had to check that out quick, but I'm sorry. Yep, he says that Anthony Edwards could be the future face of the NBA. That's Wally Szczerbiak. Yep, 7 seasons with the Timberwolves, of course. Traded to the Boston Celtics during that crazy year when everything was not going so well. Yeah, he's very optimistic with the Wolves' future here, and pretty cool to hear that. Again, with Leah B. Olsen, of course, one of the main sideline reporters, and on the desk as well, commentators with the Timberwolves, of course, with Marnie Gellner and others. So, yeah, that was really cool to see Wally Szczerbiak, and he ended it with, "Let's go, Wolves," so pretty cool. He loves us and all that, so thank you, Wally. Obviously, a New Yorker, he stayed in touch with all the different, players from back in the day, including Sprewell. They're watching the New York Knicks kicking the who the heck are they even playing? kicking that other team's butt. Yeah, but I'm sorry, I've got the too much up here at once, and it's taking forever. Of course it is. Oh, it's not giving me what I wanted. They are playing against the Chicago Bulls. No, they're not. My brain is wandering. I apologize. Philadelphia. Yeah, that's right. Okay, it's like, yep. I knew it was an East Coast battle, of course, because Eastern Conference, yes, but East Coast. Cleveland is not East Coast. Miami, Milwaukee, not, you know, you get the idea. So, yep, I knew it was one of those, like, northeastern areas, but, of course, it had to be Philadelphia. Who else is there? So we'll get to that in the second segment a bit, looking around the league, see how long I take with that. I'm not going to take forever on that. It is about the Wolves. Obviously, this is Timberwolves Explosion, and they look like a team that could go to the NBA Finals. And you'll hear that from one of the pillars of the Timberwolves explosion on social media, and of course a great friend of the show and a great friend of mine, of course. So we'll get to him in a little bit in fan interaction segment later on. Up and down series for certain players, but the point is that when this guy's down, the other guy's up, and that's what championship caliber teams do. Okay, this guy's stepping up now. This guy, maybe he's not having his night, and this guy's stepping up. Anthony Edwards a little quiet early on in the first game and just took charge into that third quarter. Had a Carmelo Anthony-like third quarter, but honestly, I think in a lot of ways better. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be a better player than Carmelo Anthony. Was there ever a time that people saw Carmelo Anthony as a potential face of the league? It's like maybe for a minute or two, but I think Anthony Edwards really does have a chance to be one of the five, if not two, best players in all of basketball for many years to come. So insanely exciting as a Timberwolves fan. And again, great to hear Wally say that as well. That is our guy, Wally Zerbiak, Wally World, number 10. Now, Mike Conley's wearing that number, of course. Game one, 120 to 95, completely again. Like, be honest, did you really think the Wolves are going to win by 25 points? Even the most optimistic Timberwolves fan. And you know, one of the best things about these two games, the Timberwolves are wearing the retros. I'm telling you, and isn't it the coolest thing ever, too, when you consider how much the team struggled back in the day when that was our logo and our jerseys and everything. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's like those uniforms are underappreciated because of the fact the team was losing a lot back then, and we had some negative Nancys in the locker room, like, Leitner and Ryder and all of them. Leitner calling everybody a loser and Ryder, you know, being too busy doing anything but basketball, basically. Just you name it, practically. And I know he would hate my guts for saying that, but I don't know. I don't think Ryder would like me very much. I don't think he would. Leitner, I can relate to him in certain things, but not much. Not everything, that's for sure. But no, it's like you think of that era, but then when you sit down and be objective, it's the best logo, and they're the best logo in jerseys that we've ever had. And quite frankly, I think they've aged very well. You look at that logo, does that not fit just fine in today's era? Like, if the Utah Jazz can go back to their logo and their old look, maybe, you know, then, and in some ways, maybe a little modernized version of it in some ways, but generally speaking, the retro look, why can't we? You know, I mean, it's, why the heck not? And Garnett wore that in his rookie year, so it's okay, just like Michael wore the cursive Chicago uniforms, you know, where it said Chicago in cursive when he was a rookie, so I always kind of looked at it that way. It was kind of cool. A Michael-like thing. It is so cool seeing Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Conley, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, McDaniels, you could just go on forever, wearing these classic Timberwolves jerseys, and that logo is unbelievable. Wouldn't it be the coolest thing ever to see the Timberwolves win a championship wearing those uniforms and that logo? It'd be so cool, and that logo's on the court at Target Center of all places, despite of what's going on with the ownership and such, so that's all up in the air, and I can't really say much about it because, not because I'm legally bound or anything, what more needs to be said at this point? It's just it's in limbo right now, and most people think it's going to end up being Taylor, and whatever, it probably will be. So that's my only comment there. 120 to 95, delaying the inevitable but this is a positive inevitable. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is exactly what you need in a postseason. Naz Reid is as well. But again, see, Naz Reid had a really solid game one, but he didn't have a particularly good game two. But that's the whole point. See, other players stepped up, and we'll get to that player in a moment. Jaden McDaniels, nudge, nudge, spoiler alert, had only a 9-point game in game one, you know, but at least he made all his free throws. He missed both of his threes and, you know, just 9 points, but at least he played extremely good defense, though. See, he did the other things and such. Carl was pretty damn solid, only 5 of 9, but still very solid. And a guy who's still, again, getting, you know, healthier and such, getting stronger, so to speak, out there on the court, as timing and conditioning and all that. Rudy Gobert only attempted 6 shots, but made 6 of 7 at the line. See, that's what we need the most. You don't want to see Rudy Gobert, you know, I just don't even want to think about it, but going like 3 of 10 or something, you know, and, you know, certain teams catching up on us and beating us. It's really annoying. 16 rebounds for him in the game. Rudy Gobert, 16 rebounds. Again, great defense throughout the night. Didn't get any blocks, but again, the defensive presence was there the whole time. Same for Anthony Edwards. He was a mess, a little sloppy with the 6 turnovers, but he absolutely took charge during that third and into the fourth quarter with 33 points. Got a little bit you know, and it was in good fun. See, that's the thing. You got a guy like John Moran who has a big mouth and he talks stuff and he's an ass, right? He's just an ass. And there's players all over the league like that, everywhere, including Devin Booker. They just talk and they're jerks about it. And then you get Anthony Edwards, who has a smile on his face, and he's friendly about it. He might be talking a little bit, but it's not like to like bring you down. It's about to just kind of have fun with you on the court. That's the difference. And that's why Kevin Durant was smiling and not jawing back at Anthony Edwards. Like, Bradley Beal, I think, is a bit of an ass as well. I didn't really see him that way before, but he seems to be more and more than I could ever imagine. Yeah, like, I've never seen Booker really as a nice guy. He's not. maybe off the court a little bit, but on the court, I don't know. But it is what it is. I mean, maybe I'd be a pain in the ass to be around too, but because I want to win, damn it. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 18 points, you know, 4 of 9 from downtown. But again, the great defense as well. 4 huge steals in the game. And again, it's just all of this is such a factor. It was like a total team effort. But again, there was that outstanding third quarter, per se, by Anthony Edwards. 14 of 24, 4 of 8 from outside. And again, just those big momentum shots, those big momentum points and all of that. Again, the turnovers sucked. But for the most part, the Timberwolves controlled the ball pretty damn well. When you consider they had 18, what did we have, like 18 turnovers in like the first half, I think it was? Wasn't it like double digits in the first quarter? It was like ridiculous. So like 14 in the whole game. So that's not bad at all. Only 2 from the bench at the end of the day. And McLaughlin, that was just, you know, one of those like during the garbage time, as they say. Conley, 7-1 assist to turnover ratio. Again, Anthony Edwards, 6 assists and 6 turnovers, but he made up for a lot of that with the 6 assists and, of course, the, you know, momentum game that he brought. And it was a fun afternoon. Beautiful day. I was outside watching the game, mobile. So, it was way too nice out for me to be, even though it wasn't particularly warm, but it wasn't cold either. Like, the cold weather from Friday was long gone. And the chillier weather from Saturday, you know, chillier than Sunday, you know, it had improved into an even nicer day on Sunday. I was outside walking around Theodore Worth Park and all that. Yeah, so, you know, in like the woods and such, that's just how I am this time of year. If I'm not doing lawns, I'm either, you know, on a bike or out walking around in the woods if I can, which is absolutely enjoyable. So thank God for mobile media and such. Really appreciated that. So no matter what you think about Valley Sports, it was nice to have during the, during that whole game. And just during the momentum and obviously Grady calling an incredible game. You know, every vibe you can imagine at the game, Grady brings it to you. He's just amazing. You know, I love Grady, so great job. That's the Wolves play-by-play voice, of course, on television. Amazing. Grayson Allen's been playing with a sore ankle, and unfortunately that sore ankle would get much more sore in game number 2, and he would be helped off the court in a kind of a, you know, where players get tangled up. I believe it was with Gobert, unfortunately. So Grayson Allen, the highest three-point percentage in the league. And a tough, tenacious defender. Not the most popular guy in the league, but, well, again, who cares? If you're good and you make your team better, who cares if you're popular? As long as you're not injuring players and getting suspended and such, like certain hockey players sometimes or certain basketball players, you know, dirty players that might put their foot in your face or whatever. That's ridiculous, you know, when you're dunking or something, you know. It's like, come on, dude. But again, this was a wonderful day, a wonderful game, and the Wolves go up 1-0 in insanely impressive fashion. Game 2, certainly not as, I mean, and it's just crazy. It's almost, it's literally like a reciprocal. You realize that? It's almost a reciprocal of the Sunday before. That was Saturday. It was a chillier day out. Okay, I got Saturday and Sunday mixed up. But yeah, I was walking around outside. It was a Saturday. That's funny. It was Saturday, the game, not Sunday. But regardless, it was still, yeah, the weather had greatly improved from the day before. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what day necessarily. Both of those days almost looked the same. That's why it was just slightly warmer on Sunday. My apologies. But I did watch the whole game and it was very entertaining. Again, that's tenacious, aggressive defense and offense by Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He is, I've said numerous times in this show, I want him to play on the Timberwolves the rest of his career. I love Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You just hope you don't have to fork over $25 million to keep him. But I don't know if he's going to be that expensive. I doubt it, but who knows? Who knows? But absolutely love him. Like Jaden, what are you giving him? 30. So 30 for Jaden. But he at least looked like a guy that deserved something, you know, something reasonably high in game number two. Definitely a closer game on Tuesday, the 23rd. Again, several days off in between games, but I guess that's okay as long as the teams are healthy and ready to go. And there's so many other games in between and all that, so especially in the first round, you know, you got a lot of games going on. So it's easier to keep up with, I guess, rather than having, like, you know, four games at once every day, you know, all the time. And it's like, I can't keep up. It's too hard. So it's too hard that way. And then, you know, you don't really get to enjoy it as much. And again, thank God for mobile, because on a nice day, even like today right now, I don't want to be indoors. I just don't. So let me go outside, damn it. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's too chilly right now a little bit. It's like in the 30s still, I think. So kind of a chilly start to this one. I don't think you came here for my weather report. Kevin Durant did have 31 points in game one. Played very well, obviously. Very strong performance, but Anthony Edwards and the Wolves overcame that. Kevin Durant, definitely not as good in game two. 6 of 15, kind of struggled. Again, Booker obviously struggled mightily in game number one. I might want to backtrack to that. And that's been a story of this series, as Booker has definitely struggled, and it's nice to see, rather than him, you know, beating us and jawing at us the whole game, because that's what he wants to do. 18 points in game one, only 5 of 16. 5 of 16. Only one turnover, but again, was relegated to poor shooting, and just a great defense from multiple players on him, like Walker, Wooka, and Anthony Edwards and such. But it's mostly been Beal and Edwards. That's been most of it's been. But again, Anthony Edwards, great shot on Kevin Durant as well. Was when, you know, there was that little friendly exchange between Durant and Anthony Edwards. Mostly Anthony Edwards doing all the talking, and Durant doing the smiling, basically, back. And Anthony Edwards made it clear that Kevin Durant was his favorite player growing up, and is his favorite player, basically, that type of thing. So it's like, obviously, nothing personal, and Durant obviously didn't take it personal. So I like that so much better. I really do. It's just, it's better. It's better than just being an ass, like Ja Morant. I don't respect Ja Morant. He's an ass. I'm just telling you how I feel. Sorry. Maybe I'm going a little too far. Eric Golden with 15 points off the bench, but Royce O'Neal relegated to nothing. Didn't even get a shot. Crazy to think about. Can be a pain in the butt to deal with, but not even a shot. Eubanks was 4 of 8 from the floor for the Suns. Bol Bol's on the Suns, and they don't even use him. Josh Okogie, yep. Earlier in the year, he was getting significant time. Thaddeus Young. Wow. Thaddeus Young. Wasn't Damian Lee on the Wolves? And Isaiah Thomas used to be a massive spark plug. All these familiar names, but they're all just kind of like DNPs. It's weird. It's kind of sad, you know. DNP. Damian Lee and DNP. Damian Lee is inactive with injury, illness, or who knows what else. But Booker, again, 6 of 13. Not as bad, but 1 of 6. He opened up the game with a missed 3. 6 turnovers as well, and he did foul out. And again, whoa. Yep, and Booker and McDaniels kind of going at it. And unfortunately, yeah. Oh, yeah. Booker puts his hands up like, I didn't touch it. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. It's so obvious. So stupid. God, I hate that crap. Oh, my hell, I didn't do nothing. Yeah, sure you didn't. They both did something. Oh, God. 1 of 6 from the floor was Booker, and minus 24 as well, and he did foul out in the game. And he's not my favorite guy. Amazing, he didn't even get a tech. How does Booker not get a tech for that? So that's amazing. Just Jaden, because he was the responder to the instigator. The instigator got away with it, and the responder seems to always get all the grief. That's lame. But Jaden McDaniels would have the last laugh, wouldn't he? He struggled. He frustrated the heck out of Booker. Beal also shot 6 of 17. Again, great defense by Anthony Edwards. Tenacious. And again, that's what's so great about Anthony Edwards as well. You know, you have James Harden, whatever. He's like, everybody thinks he's something. He's not a good defender. He's just not a good defender. I don't need to get smart about it. He's just not. So many other good guards were mediocre to below average defenders. And then you have Anthony Edwards. Maybe he came in the league like average, not below average, average. And he's become an outstanding defender, honestly. Also had a great block on Bradley Beal in this game. And that was awesome. I believe he I believe he, not high five, it was like a five. He kind of fived, I guess, low fived the ref. It was kind of cool. I don't know if the ref even intended that or not, but it was kind of funny. It was funny. And then Beal was obviously running his mouth. And, well, again, who had the last laugh? Anthony Edwards didn't shoot particularly well, but Beal, 6 of 17, and who won the basketball game? The Timberwolves did, dang it. No, 105-93, a little closer than, you know, than the last game, but still, you know, yeah. Wolves took care of business in a game that was, Phoenix was kind of leading for a while, small lead, but the Wolves stuck with them the whole way. And, again, the defense was outstanding to relegate the Suns, you know, into the low 80s for such a long period of time, you know, and then eventually they got to 93, making a couple of shots late. But Jaden McDaniels, an outstanding performance. Again, frustrating the hell out of Booker. Unfortunately, didn't get a technical for Booker. I don't understand that. 10 of 17, and again, Jaden McDaniels, more field goal attempts than Anthony Edwards, who did get 8 assists in the game. Only 12 shot attempts, and again, that's being smart. Obviously, only 25% from the floor, making one quarter of your shots. It's good to do other things. Obviously, play that strong, strong defense, but also guiding the offense as well as he did. Conley made half of his shots. Awesome. Compared to the first game, which was, you know, awful. One of his worst games as a Wolf, honestly. But it didn't matter as the Timberwolves kicked some major butt. It's funny to think Conley stunk as bad as he did in game one. It's weird to think that. And, yeah, see, like what I'm seeing about the whole Booker McDaniels, the replay's on right now. At that stage, it was a 7-point lead for the Suns. So it's like, put that into perspective as how well the Wolves played in the second half again. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, another 10 points off the bench. Naz Reid only 1 of 5, see? So, but other players picked him up, like Jaden McDaniels. Rudy Gobert, tenacious, you know, receiving in those passes and dunking. One thunderous dunk after another from Rudy Gobert. Great block in the game as well. I think one was on Booker, I think it was on Booker, if I remember correctly. But either way, it was a spectacular block. Awesome. Anthony Edwards, yeah, only 3 of 12 from the floor. Like I said, one quarter of his shots, only 15 points. But other players picked it up. You know, this time it was Conley. This time it was Jaden McDaniels. Karl-Anthony Towns, kind of not the best game, unfortunately. One of those games where it's like, it's a good thing he's not the... It's a good thing he's not necessarily looked on as like the lone wolf, the major franchise player on the team. He's one of the best players, rather than looked on as like, it's his team, he's the man. Because if it was, boy, we'd be in trouble right now. We'd probably be down 2-0 at the end of the day. Even though he had a good game one, he did not have a good game two. Only 3 of 7 and 12 points in minimal minutes. He got into foul trouble and was bitching and moaning and all of that. So hopefully Carl can calm down a bit, have some stronger performances, and I'm sure they're coming. Because if they are, as long as it's not taken away from other players, it's Carl, you know, can help lead this team to a title. Absolutely. Absolutely. Doggone it. Yeah, it's been nice. Amante Morris has been the main backup point guard, not McLaughlin of late, so okay. Got it. Did not shoot well in the game. 0 of 3 from outside and 1 of 4 overall. But a fun, a chippy game, and you're going to expect this in the playoffs. You're going to get into snuffing matches and such. But guess what? It happens. Lemon and tomato juice, and we're going to talk about the lemon and tomato juice team a bit too coming up. A little bit. I'm not going to get nearly as heavy into detail as I am with this team here, because this is exciting. Timberwolves end up finishing this thing off. Anthony Edwards, momentum shots late in the game. Conley with the ball bouncing in his direction and just catching and shooting it, like just like at the just like outside at the court. You know, I mean, I've had that happen. It's fun where you just catch the ball as it's bouncing away. You just run towards it. The ball bounces right in your hands, and you just whoop, release. It's nothing like it. You know, and I'm not obviously not trying to make it about me, just relating how smooth and how fun that feels. There's nothing like that. It's a, you know, because I bet a lot of you out there that have played basketball many times over the years have done that as well. Maybe have that nice shot, whatever. They're kind of a natural catch and shoot at times because it's a high percentage shot. It is. If you know what you're doing, it's a very high percentage shot. And Conley obviously does. And, oh, that was fun. That was so much fun. And that was as the Wolves were really pulling away. Anthony Edwards, momentum threes down the stretch. Again, he has definitely a below-average game, but those momentum threes, as I call them, were, you know, heat check or whatever you want to call it. It's not really a heat check because it wasn't hot, but like momentum threes. It's similar to a heat check, just like here we go. Here we go. This is that time. And then, boom, you know, it was so clutch and so beautiful. and help bury the Suns. It's just amazing, and how loud the crowd got and how great it felt. Wolves lead 2-0. The Lone Wolf Award for these two games is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, the Johnny Flynn Memorial popcorn maker type of thing. I'm not going to give that out in this episode. I'm not. I don't think anybody really like hurt us, and I don't want to think of anybody hurting us. Don't hurt us, okay, guys? It's not going to go to Carl either. No. Carl had a pretty damn good game one, and he wasn't like awful in game two, but he wasn't that good either. That type of thing. And I'm not going to pick on Naz Reid. Come on, you know. Yeah, Naz Reid had a great game one, and I think he'll have good games going forward. So with that said, great couple games here. Let's look at the upcoming schedule and the next release of the show. Who knows? You'll notice again, I didn't even say this in the introduction. Yeah, I'm recording on Wednesday because probably going to be working tomorrow outside, even though that's normally Brave the Wild if I'm doing it. And, you know, Friday's probably going to be rainy, but that's probably when I want to do Brave the Wild. I wanted to do this show because it's fresh. We'd already be getting ready for Game 3 on Friday. So I figured do it today, do the episode today, and I can make room for Brave the Wild on Friday, because that one's not as time sensitive as this one, because the Wild are not in the playoffs, so they're just not. That would mostly be just postseason type stuff, you know, like aftermath of the season with the Wild and like little Stanley Cup playoffs. But that's why I'm approaching it. That's for those of you that know I do multiple podcasts. Yeah, Game 3 is in Phoenix, of course, 9:30 p.m. Friday night. I'll be there, you know, not there, but you get the idea. And then Sunday night, we have an 8:30. That's awesome. 8:30 Sunday night on Tint. And then Game 5 is to be decided because the Wolves might sweep them. And Games 6 and 7, are they? So Game 5 will be back at Target Center on the 30th. So I'm guessing all three of these, if there is a fifth game, and they're, there's a possibility of that. I'm not too arrogant yet. Game 6 would be Thursday in Phoenix, and Game 7 would be Saturday, May the 4th, be with you. And hopefully the Wolves don't have to use the force to get through this one, but so it'll be next Saturday. May the 4th be with you. That's a friend of mine's birthday as well, who's a huge Star Wars fan, so God bless her. Nola Fennell. More of a Wild fan than Wolves, obviously. Not obviously, she just is. But, May the 4th be with you. Hopefully the Wolves don't have to worry about Game 7, but we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, Wolves are in the driver's seat right now, and the next episode could be at any point, but I will be doing episodes during this series, believe me. At least, hopefully the next episode will be a gentleman's sweep or something. The Wolves will have completed a gentleman's sweep. If there is a gentleman's sweep, that would be the 30th of April, so we wouldn't even get into May with this series. Otherwise, Friday, Saturday, Sunday-ish, May the 4th, 5th-ish, 3rd, 4th, or 5th, we'll be doing an episode. Maybe the Wolves close them out in 6. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But, hopefully the Wolves hang on here and don't let Phoenix close us out in 6. That would be disgusting. Let's not do what the Suns did with the Bucks years ago. I don't think so. That would be crazy and weird. But Wolves, I think, will... I have a pretty good feeling the Wolves close this out in 5, believe it or not. And it's crazy to think. That's my guess. That's my current prediction. So with that, I'll just say Wolves in 5 right now is my current prediction. Updated prediction. It was Wolves in 7 before. Hope I'm wrong about that. Wrong about having to go to 7 anyway. Still want the Wolves to win the series regardless. I've babbled enough about that. We'll take a quick break now and get to looking around the league. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 2, numero 2, or whatever. Reggie Bush reportedly is getting his 2005 Heisman back. Okay, that's breaking news on Yahoo. They like to break news, like OJ dying a while back. That was really a couple episodes ago. I think that was on Brave the Wild, though. Sorry. OKC in New Orleans, that's only one game, and OKC won by a point. Ugh. God, or they won by a basket. That was disappointing. But New Orleans, lemon and tomato juice. Go Pelicans. Wouldn't that be cool? put it this way. You want the Pelicans and or the Clippers or whatever to knock out OKC, because then if we can somehow get past Denver, which I think is possible, because we played very well against them this year. Not the last game. That sucked. But, yeah, that game sucked. But, yeah, you get past them. You have to win some road games to do it, but you get past them. And you'll be able to have home court advantage in the West Final, which, yeah, is not Shaq and Kobe this time. It's not Shaq and Kobe this time, you know. And, man, and Boston, who is ever chokeable in the NBA Finals, if it is Boston. You never know. Maybe it's the Knicks. New York Knicks are really playing with a ton of momentum. That's for damn sure. Let's go to the East first. The East is not the least, believe me. I love the Eastern Conference most of the time because, I don't know, I hate the West because I hate all the teams in the West except for us. You know, that's just the way I see it. Get out of our way, damn it, for once. Boston Celtics, 64-18 on the season. They win game one comfortably, 114-94 over the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler is out with an MCL. That is crazy. Kevin Love, only 7 points off the bench. Tyler Hero. Bam Adebayo, he's got to be probably the best player on the team right now. Hero did not have the amazing game he did before to get the Heat into the postseason, only 4-13. The Celts do some crushing of the Heats as an eight-man rotation there. Drew Holiday, tenacious defender, didn't really up. He's kind of the Conley right now of the Celtics. Porzingis, obviously great acquisition over the season and such and all that. Great player for the Celtics. Had an awesome season. Tatum with a 23, didn't shoot particularly well, only 1 of 8 from downtown, but the Celtics still win extremely comfortably over the Heat. I don't want to get too deep into that one. Let's keep moving. Cleveland is up 2-0 on the Orlando Magic. We got the 5th seed this year, 47 wins for Orlando. Cleveland with 48 wins. So that's your 5-4, 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference. Jonathan Isaac started at center, 19-31 for minutes and all that, but only 3 points, 2 blocks, and only 4 rebounds. So Jonathan Isaac definitely still kind of a shell of what he once was. And Markelle Fultz, the former number one pick by the Philadelphia 76ers, beyond a shell of himself with multiple injuries over the course of time. Joe Ingles with only 2 points. Disappointing, mate. Let me tell you, that's disappointing. Very. Gary Harris, who was always hurt but valuable when healthy with Denver. What is this game? 2? Yeah, Orlando only a lousy 18 points in the first quarter. But Cleveland winning, you know, Cleveland winning by 10. I think this is game 2, though. Why is it just kind of showing one game? Show the whole series, you clowns. Just kidding. Yeah, there they are. Game 1, yeah, Cleveland winning by double digits in both games. So Cleveland, a comfortable 2-0 lead. Not a very exciting series. In fact, very low scoring, 97-83 in the first game. 96-86 in the second game. Yep. You know, I'm not a fan of jacking up threes and all that and that 125 to 120 type of stuff. It's annoying. I don't like it. Like, jacking up threes all day, the Warriors and such. I hate it. It's garbage, I think. But, I don't know, this isn't pretty either. Definitely not. Yeah, oof. This isn't pretty either. It's not. So, we'll just keep going, though. Oh, Devin Booker, come on, man. The Bucks and the Pacers, this is where I thought the upset would happen, and Game 2 looks like it. Game 1, you know, the Bucks took care of business pretty nicely, 109-94, pretty impressive performance in Game number 1. Game number 2, I think, is telling you a little bit of what could happen in this series. I think I still stand by the Pacers defeating the Bucks in the first round. And I picked the Bucks to win the NBA championship at the beginning of the season, so I don't agree with myself anymore. Obviously, Giannis did not play, and his younger brother, Thanasis, didn't play either. As cool of a name as Giannis is, Thanasis, man. Thanasis. Thanasis took his mighty sword. And he slew the dragon. I don't know. It's pretty cool. Pacers, Pascal Siakam. 37 points. 37 points. And this is a day where Halliburton only with 12 assists, though, to go as well. He's the leading assist guy in the league and one of the better shooters. Tyrese Halliburton's one of those good ones. Turner is a guy I've, you know, been a huge fan of forever. A bit of doing everything. 22 points, 3 blocks, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. Great game. Pacers kicked the Bucks' butt. Lillard with 34. Good for him, I guess. I don't know. It's Dame time. I don't know. It's Pacer time, damn it. Not Miller time, just Pacers time. It's Pascal Siakam time. Bucks with 49 wins. Pacers with 47. 3 versus 6. In this case, I do believe these six wins. Lillard with 35 in game number one. Again, no Giannis. That makes things even worse, obviously, for the Bucks. It's actually impressive that they won game one, and Lillard with 35. Patty Beverley started in the game, and I don't know, he's okay. 8 assists, good for him. Pacers stunk except for Siakam. He's averaging 36.5 so far because he had 36 in the first game and 37 in the second game. But I will stand by the Pacers clinching the series in six in that one. As for the Celtics and Heat, Celtics in four. I think Cleveland wins in five or six over the Orlando Magic. Let's say five. Gentlemen sweep there. New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers. New York Knicks win a close thriller type of game in game number two. Game number one, they beat them fairly well. They didn't exactly kick butt, but they got the job done. 111-104, the Knicks. The New York Knicks over Philadelphia. Knicks with 50 wins, and they're the number two seed, which tells you something. It's all Celtics in the East. So only 50 wins, and they're the number two seed. Just imagine if the Wolves win all their 50-win seasons. They would have been a number two or number three seed, you know, this year. Sad. Tyrese Maxey, son of former Timberwolf Marlon Maxey. Crazy, out-of-control player, but I don't know. We had hopes with him at times. Kelly Oubre, ugh. He drives me nuts. Tobias Harris, only 7 points. Joel Embiid played, about time, right? 29 points. And Kyle Lowry, solid performance with 18 points in game number one. But the Knicks would be too much. Josh Hart with 13 rebounds with 22 points. Brunson, 22. McBride, huge factor off the bench with 21. Great job. On to game two. Again, a thriller type of a win in game number two as Dante DiVincenzo caps with a rally with a three-pointer to help the Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo, again, valuable championship college player with the Villanova Wildcats. Big fan of Villanova, obviously. DiVincenzo of the Knicks with 19 points. Jalen Brunson with 24. Hart with 21 and 15 more rebounds. Man, great job. McBride, 9 points off the bench. McBeed. Joel Embiid with 34. Maxey with 35. But just not enough, unfortunately. New York Knicks clutch down the stretch and up 2-0. In their Eastern Conference battle, they're trying to get past Philadelphia. That series could go 6 or 7, honestly, because I think Philadelphia is still a huge factor. I will say Knicks in 6, I guess, right now. It's going to be something like that, but I don't think Philadelphia is going to beat the Knicks. They're clutch, and they're getting the job done. So good for the New York Knicks. New York Knicks having success is a good thing. Come on, why isn't it showing that? Go back. Okay. I still say the Celtics win the East. I think that's a pretty comfortable assumption. Cleveland versus Boston, round two, 5 games, Boston. Yep. Indiana versus New York could be a great series. Indiana might even pull up an upset there, but Knicks will probably take care of business in 6 or 7, something like that. And then Boston, New York, that's also a 6 or 7 game series. But the Celtics representing the Eastern Conference, OKC and New Orleans, great first game. New Orleans hung in there the whole way, but frickin' Oklahoma wins by 2 points, 94-92, which again tells me I think OKC can be beaten by the Wolves in the Western Finals if that's what happens. Brandon Ingram only 12 points. You'd think he could get more than that. Valanciunas with 20 rebounds, 20. CJ McCollum, obviously a huge factor with 20 points to get the Pelicans going forward in a lot of ways. Trey Murphy, the third, with 21. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously clutch and dangerous like he always is, with 28 points. He was one of the, he's the main reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder were able to get their first win of the series. This might almost end up being like, I remember the Lakers in Oklahoma City, where Oklahoma City almost beat the Lakers in that series. It's crazy years ago. That was way back in the day, obviously, when Durant was so new and all of them. They're all young and getting going, Westbrook and all of them, and Jeff Green. But, 92-94, barely getting by. Oklahoma City will probably win that series, and it might go 6 or 7. Dallas and Clippers, I think that's going to go, I think that one will go 7, with the Clippers winning, though. I think Clippers get the job done. Very impressive first game, 109-97. They kicked their butts in a lot of ways. And, I don't know, for some reason, Clippers just couldn't get it done in the second game. Only 93 points. Disappointing. But I do still say the Clippers win the series at the end of the day. Kawhi Leonard didn't even play in game one, and the Clippers played better than when he did, which is weird. Only 15 points isn't going to get it done. You're going to need more out of Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers to make sure the Mavericks get past, or excuse me, the Clippers get past the Mavericks. But I do believe they will. I do believe they will. I think I was picking Dallas. I'm going to L.A. now. Minnesota, like I said, five games. Minnesota, gentlemen, sweep of the Suns. Who would have thunk it, right? Denver, it might be a bit of the same. Lakers had Denver. They were winning the whole way, and they let it slip by, and it was so freaking lame. And Jamal Murray with a clutch three-pointer to beat the buzzer, and the Denver Nuggets take a 2-0 lead over the Clippers, much to my chagrin. Not happy about that. First game was 114-103, kind of, I don't know, like, yeah, it is what it is. 57 wins for the Nuggets. Yep. I do believe the other team, OKC, also had 57 wins, and the Wolves had 56, which is what happened, really, and why the Wolves are third. Lakers won 47 games this year, so even the seventh seed was super good going into the, you know, and even the Pelicans, I think, were pretty valuable. 20-point comeback, as Jamal Murray with a three-pointer to kind of put them away. Or not a three-pointer, but just he hit a shot at the buzzer. I got it mixed up with DiVincenzo. But, yeah, it's disappointing. Frickin' sucks. Jamal Murray with 20 points, again, with the winning basket. Anthony Davis, great performance. And if you can get 32 and 11 out of Anthony Davis, Clippers have a, or Lakers have a chance to get past Denver. And, obviously, they'd be a huge threat for the Wolves, too. I'm not cocky playing against the Lakers in a second-round series. I'm not. Lakers got to the conference final last year. So that's kind of how it is at times. LeBron with 26 points and 12 assists, 8 rebounds as well in that second game. Just unfortunate. Denver, I don't like Denver very much. I don't hate him, but I don't like him. You know, I just don't like him. Hopefully the Timberwolves can get past them if that's indeed who we're going to play in the second round. And odds are that's probably the case. Again, the Wolves have to finish the job versus Phoenix first. And I'm not overly cocky about that either. So, because I just simply can't be. Again, it's devastating. The Lakers should have won game two. Could have made a much better series and maybe tire out Denver a little bit. But 20-point comeback. Man, oh man. But, yep, I think Denver probably wins in 5 or 6. And it's Minnesota and Denver in round 2. I'm beginning to think the Wolves could get it done in 6 versus the Denver Nuggets. What do you think of that? Which would then put us, you know, in position to possibly go to the NBA Finals. I'm going to be careful about all that right now. I'm kind of sitting out on the predictions at the moment. But OKC versus New Orleans. Let's put the lemon and tomato juice right here. Lemon in the tomato juice. I said that too fast. I apologize. Lemon in the tomato juice right here. That's what I'm looking for in a lot of ways. Talking too quick, and I apologize. Little too hyper, right? So right now, I mean, I'm still kind of leaning Boston winning it, but the whole thing. But I'd love to believe the Wolves can do that as well. We're going to hear what you have to say in segment number 3, Fan Interaction, right after this. Are you looking for a really nice Timberwolves-related Facebook page out there with cool fans and a wonderful host? Well, look no further than Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, hosted by Scott Doherty. He does a great job. Scott Doherty's an awesome guy. And the fan base on there, obviously passionate about the Wolves, but also respectful of other people's opinions regarding the team. Check out the page. It's awesome. Wolfpack from Flip to Finch. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3. Segment number 3, Timberwolves Explosion, fan interaction at TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX. Most of the interaction is on Twitter, at least I'm pretty sure. I'll probably check the Facebook as well. Facebook.com/ Timberwolves Explosion. And on Instagram, it is _Timberwolves_Explosion as well. Sorry, I'm like making noises in my mouth here. That's nasty. Timberwolves. So I want to check the Instagram real quick. Real quick here. Apologize. Yep, Timberwolves_Explosion. Thankfully, that came up real quick. I don't think there have been any update. Oh, I didn't even post the new show on there. That's bull crap of me. But yeah, no comments. Timberwolves_Explosion. Did anybody comment on the release of that Showtime T-Wolves? No. But isn't that a cool logo? It's like so simple, like the hardwood, a basketball, you know, and all that. And it says Showtime and T-Wolves, Vince Germano and Joey Wajin. I mean, it's just, I love that. It's such a simple logo and how quick it was to whip that up. And it's a nice logo for that show, isn't it? It really is. I love it. Maybe Timberwolves Explosion. That's the last show that, but it's the most, it's the show with the oldest logo now. It's got the, like the Target Center, the oldest arena now in town. So years ago, the Target Center was like one of the newer ones. So, so we'll see, you know, the Metrodome and all that. The Metrodome's long gone many years ago. The Met Center, where the North Stars played, long gone, so on and so forth. For the Facebook page, I just want to see if there's any posts. I doubt it. It's mostly all on X. Now, you can post on the Facebook page. I mean, I highly welcome it. It's got followers. It's just people don't comment on there lately for some reason. So you're more than welcome to if you're listening and you'd rather use Facebook than X or Twitter or whatever. But as for X and Twitter, here we go, at TWolvesEX. Most recent episode was retweeted, pardon me, by Vin Rock, Vince Germano, out of Melbourne, Australia. Benzo out of the Bronx in New York there. Random Hoops replied to me. I forget what I said, but yeah, I said get ant. Yep, like ants. Yep, like Anthony Edwards. That's cool. That's cool. What's going on? What's going on? What did I play? Post. I shouldn't be coughing so much. What did I post? Oh, that's frustrating. I apologize. There's a reason why he said it. So it says replying to me. So, oh my goodness. Well, I said that was really something. We don't know what great playoff games feel like around here, at least not for eons and even back then. Well, yeah, but Random Hoops. Okay, I guess it wasn't a reply. He's just saying something. Get and so he's ready. Yep, that's his way of saying good job, basically. And that was my response. Yep, like saying, yeah, that was really something. And it really was. I was saying Sacramento Kings showed no urgency, terrible execution, time and time again. I guess we'll be putting the lemon in the tomato juice, at least for the first round. And yep, I'm putting that lemon in tomato juice. You betcha. You bet I'm doing lemon tomato juice. Go from coffee now to that lemon and tomato juice. Absolutely delicious. I don't know. A lot of people don't like that, but I do. Dang it. Was there a reply? Yeah, because I didn't think New Orleans would win that game versus the Kings, but the Kings just didn't show up to play at all. Where's the reply? It's showing it. So where is it? Sometimes it drives me nuts. There's no reply. What the heck? There is a response that is not showing it. Oh, my Lord. Maybe that was get ant. I don't know. I don't think it was. I've never had a hard time like this before. Come on. I can't even look at the responses. Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. That's so weird. Anyhow, I don't understand it. I guess maybe he was responding to that New Orleans. That could be Random Hoops. That'd be Reese Pedretti out of Brisbane, Australia. Yep. So hopefully. Yep. Hopefully he's listening. I'm not sure. He might be busy with other things. But might be. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand says, yep, we look like a finals team. That being said, we need to win at least one in Phoenix. Yeah. Yep. You don't want this to go to seven. But and obviously you don't want to risk the possibility of losing one here, especially the seventh game. That'd be devastating, really devastating. Tanae again, New Zealand says, also was fun to see that fire in Jaden transfer to his play. When he pushed Booker, I thought he might completely lose his head, but no. Instead, I'm sure he grabbed an impressively strong rebound off Durant. And he grabbed, yeah, an impressively strong rebound off Durant not long after. That's the guy I want. That's who we paid. Yep, and we did give him a lot of money. And he looked like a guy that should get paid a lot of money in game number two. I agree 100% with that. Levi Brown out of New Zealand, final post here, says, I didn't see either playoff game live, and honestly, I'm afraid to start watching. Yep, I know that feeling where teams do well and you're not watching, and then you turn it on and then everything. I swear, it's weird. It's like a superstition thing, but it, like the Twins, they like have these great games, and then I finally watch, and then they just get hammered. It's like, come on. Anyhow, I didn't see either playoff game live, and honestly, I'm afraid to start watching. I think out of the few regular season games I watched, the Wolves only won one of those games. Exclamation point. Looks like the defense has been on point, and yes, they really have. It's a huge key, and the Wolves not losing their identity in this series, and that's the point. You know, it felt like we were losing our identity when Phoenix was just kind of rolling all over us in the games we lost to them this year. Like 123, 128. Like, what the heck? What happened here? You know? But then all of a sudden we get games like this where we get them way down into the double digits. And it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. That's when you know the Wolves are playing well. And, I think, what was it like, the series with OKC and the Miami Heat as well? Like the Heat, when they won their titles, kept OKC down. And when OKC won, they were scoring points. So it's like, kind of similar, I think, with Golden State and Cleveland as well in those series. So, yep. It was wonderful to see Cleveland come back in 2016. But then once Golden State got Durant, it was like everything was kind of lopsided after that. And that was disappointing. Very, very. With that said, thank you so much for listening. Yep, again, early release today, of course, of the Wednesday show. Wednesday show again, because wanted to keep this fresh, and then we can, you know, be ready for the next episode whenever it comes. Hopefully the Wolves get a sweep or a gentleman sweep in the series. That'd be best case scenario. It would be absolutely wonderful. And we'll see if the series is actually over next time we're podcasting, because that would probably be a good thing, right? if it's still going, oh boy, yep, this could be tough. So definitely don't sleep on Phoenix. They're very dangerous, especially heading into Arizona. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Unfortunately, Arizona, yeah, Phoenix is, the Suns are going to be on their own now during winter months for the next 5 years or so, because the Phoenix Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes, pardon me, are moving to Utah to join the Jazz, of all places. So the Utah Jazz will now have a partner, will now have a cross-sport partner playing during the same time in the NHL. So the Utah Yetis, or whatever they're going to be called. And Arizona will have a chance to have a new team, though, in the next 5 years or so by getting an arena situated rather than playing in front of 5,000 fans in a college arena, which is unacceptable for a Core 4 team. So with that said, have yourself a... Why am I talking about hockey, right? But it's, you know, it's just interesting to think that Arizona is going to be by themselves for a while. So the Phoenix Suns, pardon me. They're the only team called Phoenix now. Everybody's Arizona this and Arizona that. Arizona Diamondbacks, Coyotes, and the Cardinals, pardon me. So with that said, have a wonderful few days here. Hopefully the Timberwolves can finish this up and eclipse the Phoenix Suns. Wouldn't that be amazing? With that, take care and God bless.